all around the world on the Game Nashville app. We are the Game Nashville Sports Network, ESPN 94.9, The Fan, a Cromwell Media Station.
Talking to some of the best voices in Nashville, this is One-on-One with Greg Pogue.
Presented by Freeman Webb.
Also brought to you by
Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, Bass Tire Company, Sam's Sports Place and Sports Grill, Holiday Inn Express Nashville Airport, Valentino's Ristorante, and Sir Speedy of Music City.
One-on-One with Greg Pogue. Broadcasting live from Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan.
And the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Now, here's Greg Pogue.
Well, good Saturday morning. Hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Beautiful, beautiful weekend of the neighborhood. The neighborhood where we are is East Nashville, Roy's Meat Service 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb. And I don't know how to describe our guest today. Chip Hoback, Nashville's very own. Well, Clarksville's very own. Nashville's very own. Be easier to list the college, high school, professional sports franchises for which he has not been the public address announcer. His company, everything about it, just a part of the community. Chip Hoback. Chip, hey, buddy.
Welcome to me. Thank you. Hey, thanks for having me.
Good. You asked me if anybody asked us if we ran the marathon this morning. We spent the last 45 minutes trying to get around the marathon, and I actually did a U-turn on Shelby Street where you come off of it. They're putting you back over toward the stadium because of the marathon in East Nashville. And so, but there was a fence down, and so I did a U-turn into the on-ramp again to the interstate, went over to Ellington and circled. Yeah, actually, we circled. If I stayed west and north of it, I was fine.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So, how you doing, man?
Waze brought me right here.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, my Waze did too. That's like cussing and well, no, I popped it right in, but it circled me around anyway. So, what are you doing, man? What's going on?
I just love walking into Roy's Meat Service, and the smell of this place is just unbelievable every time I come in here.
Yeah, and we've got Shelly, wonderful Shelly here, making us food. We do this every Saturday morning. Let's just don't bury the lead. This afternoon, 4:00, Evident Bank Arena. Game number 2 of the season for the Cats versus the Washington Wolfpack, and you're going to be on the PA for the first. Steve Wheeler did it last week. You cannot do it out of town, doing a trip to Vegas with your wife. Fine. Well, you got to pass on that one. But
well, it was work and fun.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's true. But so today, back at it again, huh?
Looking forward to it. I spent 10 years in Clarksville, so kind of back in the late 70s, early 80s. Time frame, and looking forward to getting back there again.
You've done what? Tell me everything you've done. Seriously, all the I've got your website up right now. Hoback Entertainment, chiphoback.com. 40 years in PA, 40 plus.
PA, radio, television. Started at Marshall County High School while I was at Murray State University. WCBL Radio with Jim Freeland. Stay in touch with Jim. He's retired now, but his kids are running the operation. But Marshall County Marshals was kind of a Vanderbilt feeder school there for a while with Barry Goheen and Dan Hall and all of those people. But I was on the football side.
Aaron Beth was right from, Calvert City?
Right.
Yeah, right there.
Same area.
Yeah.
So, we spent a lot of time up there. Our grandkids are up there in that area. But Marshall County High School was where I got my start. WCBL ended up being the news director there, and worked at WSJP in Murray. And then after that, moved to Clarksville to work for Jack Mayer, who ran a radio station there called WDXN Country 54. And I was the program director and did the morning show and did the Clarksville Academy games. Guess who was playing for Clarksville Academy? Brian Ayers.
Really?
Yeah.
the resident
Belmont.
Belmont, long time for Rick Burr, Casey Alexander, now for Evan Brads, right? Yeah. I think he's probably the longest tenured Division I assistant coach in America.
He is. He is. And I used to run around with his dad, Walt, who was a coach at Austin Peay with Ron Bargatze, and worked for Charles Hand up there selling Budweiser. So got to know Walt very well, and his son was playing high school ball, and I was doing his games. So that was the early days of the career. And I did Austin Peay Radio for several years. And then I started doing Vanderbilt Television for basketball and ended up doing their PA. So that went from there to, I'm trying to go down the list, the original Nashville Cats, the first tenant at Bridgestone Arena. I started year two and worked until they moved to Atlanta. And then I went to Atlanta, did the Georgia Force games. And meanwhile, I was also doing the games in Huntsville for the Tennessee Valley Vipers. They changed their name three or four different times, but been in the arena football game for a long, long time.
What's the difference? We know the difference, right? Eight-man football, the nets, all the different things that go into it. You know, you can we've got a saying, you know, because when the ball goes in the stands, we now have replacement balls, which are pretty cool, signed by Jeff Fisher, Jeff Jarrett, and Coach Arbett. And we tell people, hey, when the ball goes in the stands, we need the ball back. But, I mean, excuse me, you can keep the ball, throw the players back. What about the game that you – that I mean, because it's – if anybody goes, they go, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when it first started, you know, they had a lot of backing. It was on national television. They had Brent Musburger and people like that were doing the games.
Eli Gold.
That's when I met Eli. Yeah, right. He was in that rotation. And so, you know, it was rock and roll football. It was a lot of action. Every time the whistle blew, there were T-shirts flying in the stands. We had the hot tub in the corner. We'd have a family sitting in a hot tub in the corner of the end zone. And the dancing girls and the motorcycles. And it was quite an event when Friday night rolled around at the brand-new Nashville Arena. And they were selling that place out. So that was a great run of a few years, and they sold it to a group in Atlanta, and that group now owns the Falcons. So, Arthur Blank.
Yeah. But the game itself, it's totally different. You know, first off, you know, in 11-man football, there's a play last, what, 5 to 10 seconds? Then you've got 40 seconds before the next play. I mean, this is one, it's a wild ride for everybody.
Right. And the ball doesn't ever stop, it seems like.
That's the saying now.
Right.
And credit Jeff Jarrett, the ball never dies. That's the new AF1 you know, pitch phrase.
Right. I remember the Cats winning a game or two when they had Andy Kelly and Corey Fleming, yeah, where they would throw it off the net on purpose on a, you know, a fourth and one from the one. They'd throw it up off the net, and they'd go up and get it. So, you know, the defense was trying to catch the ball, and everybody else is playing the rebound. So that's the biggest change in the game that's happened over different arena leagues that I've been involved in is the use of the nets. The other leagues can't use the nets. AFL1 or AF1 owns that right to use the nets in the game. And on kickoffs, you know, they kick it against the net, and then they got to rebound it, turn their back to the defense running at them. So that changes everything, I think, because I did several years where they were in a different league down in Huntsville and they couldn't use the nets.
Well, the nets are a game changer right there. I know there's the IFL, the Indoor Football League, doesn't use the net. It's just, it's boring, quite frankly.
Right.
The excitement is the play off the net, the deuce, you know. So you can actually have a 9-point or maybe more possession. Okay, follow me. Okay, touchdown, right?
Right.
All right, six. You go for two.
Uh-huh.
That's eight.
Eight.
All right. You kick a deuce, which is meaning if it goes through the goalpost like a field goal, it's 2 points on the kickoff. That's actually a 58-yard kick to get two. So you can have, theoretically, a 10-point possession.
And it's only, what, 10 feet wide?
Yeah.
It's narrow.
Yeah, it's amazing, really, and our kicker's pretty dang good at it. So, yeah, you can have a 10-point possession.
Did they hit the scoreboard last week?
One time.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's something that you get in arena. The F&M Bank Arena, which, by the way, F&M Bank Arena, Clarksville, wow, what they've done with it.
Oh, it's amazing. I did the games in the Dunn Center for many years, and loved that place. But the atmosphere is really something. You're on the play. There's not a bad seat in the house. It's like the lower bowl of Bridgestone.
It's a mini version of Bridgestone Arena.
Right. They've got luxury suites. They've got restaurants and bars and got everything you need. Right there in the middle of downtown Clarksville. And if you've ever taken the tour of the rest of the facility, they've got ice. They've got
the Red River Spartans, owned by Tracy McMurtry, because you hear him on Predators, Franklin Motors, your ride is here. he actually owns that semi-professional hockey team. They play all throughout the Midwest, and that's their home ice.
Right. Yeah. So the Predators are involved in that as well. With the youth leagues that they have up there. And then Austin Peay has their offices and basketball practice facilities in there. So quite a complex in the middle of downtown Clarksville, which there really wasn't anything there before.
Chip Oback is our guest, PA extraordinaire. Is that fair?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll do.
Anybody that'll pay me to talk.
Yeah, and he's this afternoon, 4 o'clock. Well, actually, you go on at, what, 3?
3.
3 o'clock, you start talking. And so, we got that going on today, this afternoon. Cats, Washington, Wolfpack, Chip Hoback is our guest with that.
And the reason I'm starting at 3 o'clock is we're introducing the autograph line for Jeff Fisher. So if you want a chance to go meet Jeff Fisher, they're going to have a spot for that.
He's our Cats captain. We have a Cats captain of the week. We've gone Jeff Jarrett last week and now Jeff Fisher this week. Pretty obvious, right? So I don't think that I'm next in that rotation.
It'd be a short line for me.
Been business partner with Jeff Fisher, Jeff Jarrett. I say I'm like a pair of brown socks with a black tuxedo. I just what's out of place right here, why? Where did it, I mean, what put you behind the mic in the first place?
Well, I studied it in college at Murray State. I was radio and television.
I mean, even before that, though, you don't show up at college, right, wanting, or is that what you did?
Well,
did
when I played
in high schools?
Yeah. I mean, when I played, growing up in Freedom Hall and Fairground Stadium out there, John Tong was the guy. And I knew the radio guys from Ed Calais through Van Vance. I got to be friends with all of those people. And that was just something I was always drawn to, was the broadcast teams and the PA announcers and – gifted to have a baritone voice in the later years in high school. So that helped a lot too. So really enjoyed that as a, kind of calling the play-by-play while I was playing back in the day. That's how I got started and studied it in college. And instead of going to the college courses, where you start a reel-to-reel and watch it for an hour, I went out and got a job. Worked in the commercial business and learned so much from Jim Freeland in Benton and Sammy Joe Parker in Murray and those people that hired me in those stations.
While we're going around the horn with it, how many years have you done the Ohio Valley Conference? Obviously, their tournament up in Evansville, Municipal Auditorium before then. How many years have you been the PA voice of the OVC tournament?
Kyle Schwartz and I were trying to figure that out.
Kyle Schwartz, obviously the Associate Commissioner for Communications at OVC.
So we were trying to figure that out, and I did television for a few years. I did PA when they were in Louisville, the year they played at the Convention Center in Louisville, which was a kind of a bizarre situation. They played in a ballroom.
I remember that.
Rupp Arena. So that goes back probably 30-something years. Because I was in the OVC with Murray, and then I did Austin Peay's games. I was involved when it was at the home sites back then, and when the tournament started, I've been involved ever since.
Chip Hoback is our guest. Hoback Entertainment, 40 years of radio, 30 TV, PA announcing, all of that at every level. We're going to talk about your MBA here in a little while. We're going to talk, and we're going to get your opinion on a lot of different things in the world of sports. Brandon Bigsby, he is our producer. We are at Roy's Meat Service. It's one-on-one with Greg Pug, presented by Freeman Bell. More of that or this or whatever coming up here on 94.9 The Fan. We are at Roy's Meat Service, East Nashville. By the way, Roy's Meat Service has been the official caterer of the Cats for now in our third year. They do all of our training camp. 50 meals twice a day.
Wow.
For 15 days. They did it, and they knocked it out of the park.
And those guys eat.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, this is not a beer league, okay? Every one of these players have agents. Every one of them, you know, have at the collegiate level, all conference type players. They play all over the country. Now, they're in our front line. I hadn't looked at it. I should have already know this, but our front line last year weighed over 1,000 pounds. There's three linemen, right?
Yeah.
360, 380, and 390.
Wow.
Yeah. Because you don't have to do is just stand there and more push because the ball comes out so fast.
And one of them scored a touchdown.
Well, that was, that was the AF1 player of the week, Peyton Buchholz.
Right.
Yeah. And he could, this guy's 6'5", 340, 350, and just ran over a defensive back, felt bad for him and everything. Montgomery Bell Academy. That's home for you?
Yeah, I started doing their games when I was announcing the Vanderbilt games. I did their football and basketball for 8 or 9 years, and during that time I was approached by Daniel McGugan, who was the new coach over there. They had a new athletic director, new coach, and he liked what I did at Vanderbilt and tried to recruit me over there. I said, I hadn't done a high school game in years. And he toured the campus with me over there, showed me around, and told me what they were about, the gentleman scholar athlete, and fell in love with the place. And my son ended up going there and graduated in 2011, and I've been doing the games ever since.
Yeah, and it just seems like you're a fixture over there. Where are you from?
I'm from Louisville.
Okay. Tell me about growing up in Louisville.
I grew up.
Let me see. Did you go to Louisville? let me guess.
You're not going to guess it.
Not Pledger Ridge Park.
Nope. Others,
not Central. Not. I'm going to go, I don't know where.
Wagner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody goes Trinity. No, that's next door.
Well, Trinity and St. X
right.
Up there as well. Tell me about growing up in Louisville.
Grew up in St. Matthews. Like I said, Wagner High School. Played a little bit of everything while I was there.
Well, the St. Matthews Mall was like the first mall ever, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Seriously.
And then across the interstate was Oxmoor.
Yeah.
They built two malls at one intersection. But spent a lot of time there in that St. Matthews Community Center ballpark. Went to a basketball camp when I was little with Wes Unseld and Butch Beard.
Wow.
In the outdoor basketball court there, and I got to play ping pong with them. That was a big highlight for me. But, yeah, Louisville was a great place to grow up, you know, with the Derby and the horses and U of L basketball. You were either U of L or UK.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Kentucky boy.
Yeah.
I know, yeah.
My blood was Louisville. My dad went to speed school. So we were U of L through and through. As a matter of fact, I was conceived after U of L beat UK in the Mideast Regional in Memphis in 1959.
Really?
I was born.
That was the last time they played.
For 25 years.
Until 1982.
The Dream Game.
Where was that?
Knoxville.
I was at that game.
Knoxville.
1982.
Stokely?
Yeah, it was at Stokely. Yeah. I actually covered that game for the Daily News in Bollinger.
I was conceived after that game, and I was born after a game at Freedom Hall when Louisville was playing Cincinnati. Mom went into labor at halftime, wouldn't go to the hospital until the game was over. Oscar Robertson was playing in that game.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Put, you know, the big O. You know where he is from?
No.
He's basically here. I can't think of the town. It's in like Dixon County, right on the Davidson County, maybe Cheatham County line.
I didn't know that.
I can't think of the name of it. Yeah, but he's from here, basically there.
So, Son played. You know, I was a baby in Cincinnati, but when I was growing up, he was an announcer doing games, and I saw him several times at Freedom Hall. But growing up a Cardinal fan was fun. You know, going through the 1980, their first national championship, and got to play against some of those guys. In high school, played Phil Simms in baseball.
Charlotte, Tennessee.
Charlotte,
Tennessee.
I didn't know that.
There you go.
Wow.
I think that's in.
That's a suburb of Dixon.
Yeah, it's in Dixon County, but it's right on the, but it's part, you know, of the Nashville area.
Right.
So. Anyway, Chip Hoback is our guest, one-on-one with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb here at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. So, brothers and sisters?
Brother, two sisters.
Yeah.
They're all up in the Louisville area. So, I was the one that got away.
Yeah.
Came down here, and I moved here to work for Channel 4 back in 90, probably 90, and then was there for 3 or 4 years and got into technology at the same time and been in Nashville ever since.
The what your first job in Nashville was Channel 4?
Channel 4.
Yeah. Who was it? Was it
Well,
Rudy?
No, I'll take that back. My first job in Nashville was when I was at WDXN. I did the overnights at Y107.
On-air announcer?
Yeah, I was the DJ overnights at Y107. And then
Did you go by Chip Hoback?
Yeah.
Or I don't know if you had
Yeah. No, I never changed my name.
Yeah.
But I drove from – I'd get off at 5, drive to Clarksville, and go on the air at 6 in Clarksville, 6 to 10 mm-hmm. in the morning. So I did the overnights for a while and didn't do that very long. But that was my first job in Nashville. And then moved here and worked for Channel 4 as a sports anchor. Rudy hired.
Yeah, Rudy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love and Joe Fisher was there at that time. And so, yeah, it was a good crew back then.
I don't want to get into it right now, but we're just going to go around the horn in a little while just about what's going on in Nashville and get a little more philosophical about some things where we're headed with that. But the Vanderbilt run and all of that, but you just said something a minute ago that your day job gets in the way of a lot of it. What is your day job?
We're in technology in the VAR world, value-added resellers and technology, infrastructure.
Now, what is that? Okay, you told me what VAR stands for. That still doesn't tell me what it is.
Okay, well, if a company has a project they want to implement, they would bring us in to design, implement, and then go away.
Yeah.
And then help them support it. So whether it was connecting all the different offices together, building data centers, all of that technical hardware. It used to be hardware. Now you spin it up in the cloud.
Yeah.
But so that's how I got started in the technology world. And about 5 years ago, I started a firm that still does that. It's kind of a brokerage for helping people find the companies to do the work. We eliminate all the people they don't need to talk to save them time. And then also, all my former customers have semi-retired or the C-level people, so I started a C-level consulting firm with all my old friends, and there's about 25 of us now, and they do business consulting.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you get into that, the technical side of it?
Well, like I say, it was about the time I was working with Channel 4.
Yeah.
I worked with one of the original, when the internet was a new thing. I got to work with one of the original ISPs.
That inner thing became a thing.
Kind of took off.
Yeah, it did something. Yeah. Thanks to Al Gore, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We had to show people what email was
and
why they needed it. And, you know, that was the thing that kind of took off.
Yeah, it did. So you just rode that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chip Hoback is our guest, 101 with Greg Pogue this morning from Freeman, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. You notice when I sit here, they got such a wide array of sauces and seasonings, and every bit of them, just about every one of them, of those in that genre are local businesses. But I let the guest face the beer. The beer case. I don't sit here. I don't drink beer anyway, but sit here and don't stare at the beer case for an hour. I'll let you do that as well. More with Chip Hoback.
I used to have a beer.
Used to have, oh, that's right.
It's called One More Beer. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about that in a minute. All right.
All right.
That's right. One More Beer. I remember that. Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. 94.9 The Fan. It's 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb. We are at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Chip Hoback, our guest, PA of the Nashville Cats this afternoon at F&M Bank Arena, 4 o'clock. Still tickets. I tell you what, the atmosphere up there is going to be great. It was a week ago last night where our season opener, and that's at 4 this afternoon. So get on up. Got some time. Some tickets. I don't say plenty of tickets. I don't know. Tickets are going very well.
That's great.
Yeah, just leave it at that. But, yeah, certainly with that. You mentioned before the break, you are a beer mogul.
I don't know about that.
Tell me about your beer.
Yeah, I had a beer on the market. I had the idea for a couple of years, and it kept. I'd hear somebody order One More Beer. And I said, I Googled it, and there's not a beer called One More Beer. So I made a beer called One More Beer,
yeah,
and trademarked it. I called my friend in Clarksville, Charles Hand, and said, "What should I do anything with this?" And he said, "Trademark that thing." So I did, and we came up with a mascot. It's a praying mantis. Says, "Might as well have one more beer. She's going to bite your head off anyway." And we had the foam fingers and merchandise and the whole nine yards. And we were in about 30 locations with some friends down on Broadway at the Stage and Legends Corner, places like that. They were selling a bunch of it down there. Carrie Bringle, Peg Leg Porker.
Yeah,
they were selling my beer at their places. And then several of the golf courses around town were selling it. And kind of had some issues with not distribution but production, keeping up with the volume. And so we just kind of ended that relationship. So if I find another brewer, I'll probably put it back out there again.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you still have that itch?
Well, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I got a lot of things going on, so it does take a lot of work to get out there. I'd love to find a brewer that also could take care of some of the sales responsibilities of getting it in the locations. I've got the relationships. I just need somebody to work it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of my life. I can go get the deals. Now I got to go get somebody to work the deals, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it.
Chip Hoback is our guest this morning with the you were just talking about, we were going to speak about Louisville Wagner. Talk about the, when you, because Louisville high school basketball has been a hotbed for probably a century, really, if
right.
you talk about it, but certainly back to the 50s, all the greats have come out of there. When you were in high school, who all you played against at Ballard High School?
Ballard was Jeff Lamp, Lee Raker, Jerry Eves, can't remember the other two, but Lamp and Raker went to Virginia and played with Sampson.
Uh-huh.
Jerry Eves went to Louisville and was on their 80 championship team. Central had, Mayo had Daryl Griffith and Bobby Turner, and they both went to Louisville. Griffith ended up being Dr. Dunkenstein and winning the Wooden Award and the national championship. And Jeff Mack went to LSU.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff Mack.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he played with Dale Brown, and then we had the guys at Shawnee, Rudy Macklin, Duran Macklin.
Oh, yeah.
He played at LSU.
Played at LSU.
Played at NBA. So there was a bunch of NBA players that, and we weren't. Now, our center was 6'5", I think, and couldn't dunk. So.
Yeah, and that's just a whole other level with that. But high school basketball, I remember even before that growing up, going to the state tournament, the Sweet 16. You know, I grew up in Bowling Green and everything, but the Sweet 16 was it, man. My dad was a high school basketball coach, never went, but he, you know, as a coach, but he got to a region championship going one game and lost that back in the day. But
they have one state champion.
Oh, yeah, it was it. I remember going as a kid, and this is going to show my age, but I remember 1971. I was up there, and this was when Western Kentucky with Jim McDaniels and all that, the year they went to the Final Four. Well, they beat Adolph Rupp and Kentucky. And I remember I was 14 years old, and we were staying at the Dixie Motel. No, at some motel on Dixie Highway.
Woo.
Okay, yeah. Back then, it wasn't as woo as it is now, okay?
But you had to have a fast car to live on Dixie
Highway. No, but back then it wasn't, okay? But that's where coaches and teachers stayed on their salary, right? And so I remember that afternoon, the game was on. It was in Athens, Georgia. And my dad actually played and got his coaching career started for under the legendary coach E.A. Diddle at WKU.
Who weighed the towel, right?
The red towel. Okay. And so my dad wanted to go to Kentucky, went to Western Kentucky, then got drafted in. Back then they could draft you right into the, you know, military. And so I remember I was a WKU fan. And even my dad, who went to Western, my mom, they were still Kentucky fans. Everybody on my side of the family, my wife's side of the family, she's from Brownsville, where my dad coached, started his coaching career. Here's your story. Brownsville High School, they consolidated in 1960. They became Edmondson County. Their nickname, my dad named them the Wildcats. but I remember about getting I was running around, and I remember every door was open, and everybody was watching it. You could hear the crowd, and everyone in that hotel, not a hotel, good Lord, that's a stretch, motel complex were Kentucky fans. And here I am just raising hell as a Western Kentucky fan, and Western beat them. And my dad was mad at me. I said, Dad, you went there. Right. That's where your career, that's where you played. But anyway, enough of that. But, yeah, what the Sweet 16 was it.
And they still have the Sweet 16,
oh, yeah.
Don't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, didn't Indiana recently split it out?
Yeah, and Kentucky split it out for a while, but then went back. But, yeah, it was at Freedom Hall, old Freedom Hall.
Yeah, the great, you know, the old Freedom Hall, back, you know, it was a horse show arena. And they used to have the bleachers and then a big gap and then the rest up before they sunk the floor.
Yeah.
But I remember as a little kid, I'd go to those U of L games when, like I said, when Wes Unseld and those guys were playing. That's showing my age, too.
Yep. Chip Hoback is the guest 101 with Greg Pug, presented by Freeman & Webb here at Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville, surrounded by the marathon. What do you when you came, what year, when did you come here? 90s?
To Nashville?
Yeah.
Well, like I say, Clarksville for 10 years, starting at about 81.
So about 90.
And then about 90 is when I came
here.
Did
you ever imagine that as Dan Patrick has reported that we would have a Super Bowl, and we're going to eventually, right?
Right.
Looks like possibly 2030, although no one's denying it. Patrick's reporting it.
Right.
This city's gone crazy.
Oh, I know exactly the spot when it changed because you probably came to some of the old Nashville Area Athletic Club.
Oh yeah, I was at the banner. Would actually cover them. It started. What, I'll let you tell it, with Rick Region and Jenny, I can't think of her name.
Before Jenny Hannon. But the Nashville Area Athletic Club.
Was just a speakers bureau, right?
Right, yeah. Right. And Rick Region ran it. He brought me in. I was on his board of directors, ended up being a president at the time that we formed the Nashville Sports Council. So that's when they brought in Jenny Hannon.
All right.
With the Sports Council, but worked with Diane Neal. I was in this room with Diane Neal and Irby Simpkins and Ron Samuels and Dale Paul. You know, I had no business.
Power broker.
Yeah, it was the, you know, and we had the individual membership that they wanted. So that started that merger. But at that time, you know, we didn't have Titans. We didn't have Predators. We didn't have an arena. And it was when Phil Bredesen broke ground on that arena. They had no tenant. And built it, they will come. And the Cats were the first tenant in there. And then after that, the Preds came in. So that was the beginning of everything because you remember what Lower Broadway was like.
Well, yeah. I heard about it. Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know for sure, but I heard. Sure. Yeah, you didn't go down, what, from 8th Avenue down to the river?
No, 2nd Avenue was kind of the entertainment.
Well, but yeah, all the way down and then up. But yeah. I'm talking about. Yeah, from, well, Lower Broad, from like 5th Avenue down on both the peep shows I read about. I've never been in a peep show in a life, but I heard,
Rubel Sanderson owns that whole block.
Why would
there?
You pay money and watch something for 2 minutes and then the trap closes?
Rubel Sanderson owns Legends Corner and the stage and the second fiddle and all those up and down there. And when he bought that property, I guess it was in the 70s. He was cleaning out everything, and they found the stack of business cards that had the menu of all the items you could get.
Yeah.
And he still keeps that in his pocket.
Oh, yeah. Russ Simon was the
– He built the arena.
He built the arena. I believe it was HDK was the company that builds the arena based out of St. Louis, but he was the guy that was in charge of building the arena. The media tour, right? It was maybe about halfway through. They, you know, put the hard hats on.
Right.
They did a media tour, and I'm walking around. This is, you know, Rudy, Hope, everybody, you know, Clymer, Biddle, everybody. And so I asked Russ, where is the press box? They did not plan for a press box. So you know now why the Predators, where their media sits, is actually in a – was previously just going to be a place where they had seats and to sell. And that's why they have the press area where they do now. They did
up on the roof.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you see, but he didn't. He goes, we didn't plan one.
Yeah, that's where I sat when I called the Cats games.
Yeah,
yeah.
Up there. Well, that's where Pete and and Terry forever now.
Right.
Pete and they were up at the very, very. You can't get any higher than
right.
On that side. But anyway, and I think Pete's done okay with it as well. And that's another thing. Hockey here. Come on. I mean, it no longer is it called a non-traditional hockey market.
Right. Well, used to have the Knights.
Yeah. Oh, the Nashville Knights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peter Horacek was the head coach who later was on Barry Trotz's staff. Yeah. What a time. That's first hockey I'd ever been around.
Yeah, municipal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Municipal. You didn't ever do any hockey, did you?
No, I did some hockey down in Birmingham, but for Joe Stroud, who just passed away, but Joe was the man – in Huntsville for all the teams down there who brought me down there, and he had the Bulls down in Birmingham, and he brought me down there to do some games.
Yeah. How was that? Had you ever done hockey before?
I hadn't, and it's there's not much to do, really,
Paul
for a
McCann,
PA announcer.
Paul McCann knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
I mean, great Paul and Denise, that family, good people. All right, we'll take a break. It is 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb right here at Roy's Meat Service, East Nashville. Come by here and get you a big old Wagyu steak.
I had the ribeye last time I was here, and it was glorious.
Yeah, well, you don't buy these at Publix or Kroger or any other store, really. Just very few places in Nashville have this high a quality of meat. I'm not kidding. That's the truth.
All right. People say, well, I wish there was some place that had a butcher.
Uh-huh.
Well, here it is.
Roy's Meat Service. Yeah. But it's more, it's like a bodega in the city or a country store out, that feel to it as well. And Jackson Boone Racing, they sponsor everything at the track. And the track Jackson Boone Racing tonight will have on the car, the Nashville Cats Cool Cat logo.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, tonight.
Yeah, so, I know Clay.
Yeah, Clay Boone. Yeah, actually, and his son, Jackson. All right, we'll take a break. More of this right here, 94.9 The Fan. Chip Hoback, our guest, 101 with Greg Pug, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. Brandon Bigsby back in the 94.9 studios. All right, let's go around the horn. Ready, Chip?
I'm ready.
Favorite athlete of all time. This is your superlative list. One, don't give me... Put that up a little higher. There you go.
Boy, that's a tough one. I have to go back to my Louisville days. Charlie Tyree.
Really?
That's Louisville's first All-American.
Oh, I know who it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, okay. That's all right.
I grew up with his sons.
Favorite sports team of all time?
Louisville Cardinals.
Louisville Cardinals. Okay. In Nashville, your favorite restaurant? What's your wife's name?
I'm Michelle.
Michelle. I know it, but I wanted to ask you.
Oh, most of them are gone. I've been a big fan when I have the corporate card of going to Jimmy Kelly's.
Okay.
And Sperry's is probably
all right,
a close second.
You can add Sperry's. Yeah. Sperry's, Sam's, that family. Sam's a sponsor of this show. So.
And I like the good old Meat and Threes, the Pie Wagon, and those places. Wendell Smith's is still
Sweats.
Around. Sweats.
Yeah, that's six.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, that's good enough.
The Pie Wagon used to go with my music industry buddies.
Right downtown.
Because it was right there on Music Row.
Yep. Favorite musician?
Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney. Favorite book?
The Bible.
Favorite actor?
You always see those movies and you go, it's got to be good because so-and-so's in it. There's three or four of those. I can't think of any of them off the top of my head.
You got to come up with an actor, okay?
Okay.
I'm not letting you off the hook, okay?
Clint Eastwood.
Well, okay, there you go.
There you go.
All right, that's, mine's Gene Hackman, by the way. Okay, the late Gene Hackman. If you, your last meal, what will it include?
It would probably be one of those Wagyu steaks over there.
Across over here.
And a stuffed baked potato.
So you're going to leave the bill with your wife.
That's right.
Because I love Jeff Roy. These Wagyus are not cheap. I'll just tell you that. Right?
That's the last one.
Well, they're $59 a pound. So if you want an 8-ounce steak, that's $30. well, you'll pay $100 in a restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you? Okay, you're like, okay, steak. What else? Baked potato.
Kind of a loaded baked potato.
Yeah.
Twice baked.
All right. A minute ago, I guess I could have put these together. Favorite movie. That would have maybe helped you with your favorite actor.
Yeah, I don't know that either. I watch movies all the time, so it's hard to pick a favorite.
We are no fun.
I know. I can't think of anything. It's morning.
You've already had favorite trip you ever went on.
Favorite trip. Washington D.C. when I was about 12. That
really?
Was really cool going to.
Because, you know, with the.
Did everything but the White House. So I want to go back to
really?
The White House sometime.
Well, you know, I would have thought, you know, for you it'd be Tahiti, you know, Big Daddy Warbucks over there. Bucket list trip that you've. Where do you want to go?
You know, there's several places in the United States that I've never been. The only time I've been overseas was with the Titans when I did their game with the Ravens in London.
Yeah.
And that was a get there Friday, game Sunday, turn around, come back Monday trip. So I got to hang out with Coach Mack and
Coach
Mike
Mack,
Keith.
Yeah.
We hung out on Trafalgar Square. There's a pub right there where they had a Titans party. So I got to hang out with those guys while I was there. Man, I miss that guy. He was something else.
Yeah. Just really sad.
Yeah.
It just Coach Mack was amazing. So
I heard him on the radio like a week ago.
Yeah. What do you bucket list what? So where is the trip that you want to go to?
I guess because I've never been in that part of the country, the national parks around Yellowstone.
You need to go to Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fly into Montana, down, come through west, but you got to circle it all the way through.
Okay.
Take 2 days, and here's what you need to do. There's a west side entrance there, and then there's West Yellowstone. The other side is Wyoming. There's the north and then the south.
So is that Jackson Hole?
Yeah, it's on over here.
Okay.
But you need to get one of those audio tour guides that you sync to your rental. And because there's so many things that I would have never even thought to look at without that. So
yeah.
There's my travel advice.
Okay, all right. I've got friends in Jackson Hole, so.
Okay, well, hey, if I got friends in Jackson Hole, I would have already been there. I'll just tell you that. So today, Cats, let's promote it. We got a couple more minutes. You know, F&M Bank Arena, 4 o'clock this afternoon, and just everything that's going goes into it because we're saying, hey, we're going to throw a party and hope a football game breaks out.
Right. It used to be that rock and roll football. It was a lot of dancing girls and a little bit of football.
No hot tubs.
No hot tubs.
Yeah.
Yet.
No. Trust me, we've had the discussion. It just seems like that health reasons, we
right.
don't need somebody. Okay, let me just tell you. Because you were the PA of the Cats back
right.
in the day at the Bridgestone Arena, right?
It was fine until the Hooters girls got in there.
I understand. But you would have three couples, all the hard bodies, the looks, right? So six people in there. And they would be drinking the 64-ounce beer, you know, and stay in there 2 hours and never get out.
Yeah, that was.
That's one. Okay, just this. Connect the dots.
That was towards the end. It started out with church groups and families and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being the Hooters girls and the competitions. Yeah. That's when David Baker, who was the commissioner at that time.
Yeah, see, people don't.
He put an end to that.
The Hall of Fame guy who ran the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, Dave Baker's like, he's Shrek. He's huge.
6'9".
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he and some buddies in a bar in Chicago wrote down Arena Football League on bar napkins. That's how it started. And he was the commissioner back then.
You know, there was one point when schools were starting to leave the Ohio Valley Conference and there were financial issues. You know, they're not huge universities with big endowments and all this stuff. So they were struggling with football. And my suggestion was every arena they had in the OVC was the right size to have arena football. You didn't have to have 150 players. And travel expenses and all that would go down, and I never got much traction on that. But I thought that would have been a unique thing, probably gotten a television contract, and, you know, kept that league together. Now
One thing, too, I'm glad you brought that up. I wish I'd have brought this up earlier on the show. Our friend Beth DeBush and the long, long time commissioner, one of the most influential female administrators in our country, really, NCAA, governing body and everything. Just, you know, think a lot of her. Lost her father and retired and everything. What a sweetheart.
Yeah. And, you know, that tournament was very different this year without her. And her parents, because they were there every time.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we would hang out after the games in the pub and talk about the games. So, yeah, Beth was a good one.
Yep, still is.
She'll be missed.
Yep. Thanks, Chip. Let's go to Clarksville.
All right.
Let's head up.
All right.
All right.
Queen City.
Chip Hoback has been our guest. We do this every Saturday morning right here on 94.9 The Van. It's called 101 with Greg Pogue, presented by Freeman Webb, Roy's Meat Service in East Nashville. I got to get you out of this Wagyu mode here. Hey, thank you, Brandon Bigsby. Everybody have a great day. Thanks for listening.